Well, good morning. So good to see everyone this morning. Looking forward to a great service this morning. And don't forget, I'll say something in a little bit later, but don't forget we're having our Sing-spiration tonight, as well as a time of fellowship after the evening service over in the fellowship hall. Just bring a soup or several sandwiches, just something to share. I think Michelle's made some soup in a crock pot to have over there. So just bring something to share. We'll have a time of fellowship. Tonight, remember, we'll have testimonies, sing some hymns, have some special music, some instrumentals, and then we'll also have a little bit of a discussion tonight. I will ask you this, and you get back with me this afternoon by text or just saying something. I'm not sure that I want to tape the service tonight or edit out the discussion after this inspiration, depending on where that goes. But we'll have a little bit of discussion tonight, as I shared last week in reference to those who say you're judging me, and talking about the difference between judging and actually what they're facing and feeling is conviction. And we'll talk about that tonight. I know a lot of us as parents deal with that with kids and grandkids, as well as some of the other folks that we know in the younger generation. We'll have a little bit of discussion on that tonight after this inspiration and before we go over to the fellowship hall. So we're glad you're here this morning. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and our choir will sing for us. Lord, we do love you so much, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. We do ask, Lord, your blessings and upon us today. Help us to put away the cares and concerns of the world, Lord, that we might enjoy a time of praise, a time of worship, a time of fellowship, and a time of learning as we glean from the scriptures this morning. Father, work in our hearts. Lord, help us respond in obedience and just have your way. We ask in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Throne, the flurry of mass trumpets.
Good to be back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and thank you so much for your obedience unto the Lord and giving of your tithes and offerings. Brother Leonard, please pray for us.
Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day you gave us. Father, thank you for all these folks that can join together in spirit in your house here at Harvest Baptist. And Father, what a privilege and honor it is to give back a portion of what you've given to us this past week. And Father, we just thank you for the love that you showed toward us in spite of ourselves, Father. But we just know that our God loves us. And Father, we love you because you did first love us. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for Jesus who made it all possible. And we give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Let's join together and go before the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon the service as the men pray for me and I pray for them as well. Let's ask God to do something special in the service today. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne, Father, with a people that have many needs, many with not only needs, but maybe a heavy soul, a burden on their heart or mind. And yet even through all of that, we can still have joy because our joy is based on our salvation and not the happenings around us. So, Father, help us not to allow the burdens, allow the sorrow, allow the worry or the concern to hinder us this morning from freely worshiping and hearing from you and in celebrating and getting excited about what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in the service and what you'll do during the preaching here to come in a few moments. Father, help us to solely concentrate on what you have for us today. Father, I thank you for the men of Harvest Baptist Church and those that are gathered with us today. I pray a blessings and protection around them, Father. Protect their eyes, their ears. Father, protect their tongue and their mind from going into areas that they should not. Father, help them to have a forgiving spirit as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Father, as you have forgiven us. Lord, I pray that you'd help them as they labor to serve you at home, in their community, at work, and here at church. I pray that you'd help them, Father, and give them strength. Father, I thank you for the ladies of Harvest Baptist Church and their willingness to serve and to play that important role as helpmeet that you have given to them as their husband and their wife, Lord, and the role that they play in ministering here at Harvest Baptist Church. Good morning. So good to see everyone this morning. Looking forward to a great service this morning. And don't forget, I'll say something in a little bit later, but don't forget we're having our Singspiration tonight, as well as a time of fellowship after the evening service over in the fellowship hall. Just bring a soup or several sandwiches, just something to share. I think Michelle's made some soup in a crock pot to have over there. So just bring something to share. We'll have a time of fellowship. Tonight, remember, we'll have testimonies, sing some hymns, have some special music, some instrumentals, and then we'll also have a little bit of a discussion tonight. I will ask you this, and you get back with me this afternoon by text or just saying something. I'm not sure that I want to tape the service tonight or edit out the discussion after this inspiration, depending on where that goes. But we'll have a little bit of discussion tonight, as I shared last week in reference to those who say you're judging me, and talking about the difference between judging and actually what they're facing and feeling is conviction. And we'll talk about that tonight. I know a lot of us as parents deal with that with kids and grandkids, as well as some of the other folks that we know in the younger generation. We'll have a little bit of discussion on that tonight after this inspiration and before we go over to the fellowship hall. So we're glad you're here this morning. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and our choir will sing for us. Lord, we do love you so much, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. We do ask, Lord, your blessings and upon us today. Help us to put away the cares and concerns of the world, Lord, that we might enjoy a time of praise, a time of worship, a time of fellowship, and a time of learning as we glean from the scriptures this morning. Father, work in our hearts. Lord, help us respond in obedience and just have your way. We ask in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Throwing up that trumpets, stabbing end of sin.
Good to be back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and thank you so much for your obedience unto the Lord and giving of your tithes and offerings. Brother Leonard, please pray for us.
Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day you gave us. Father, thank you for all these folks that can join together in spirit in your house here at Harvest Baptist. And Father, what a privilege and honor it is to give back a portion of what you've given to us this past week. And Father, we just thank you for the love that you showed toward us in spite of ourselves, Father. But we just know that our God loves us. And Father, we love you because you did first love us. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for Jesus who made it all possible. And we give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's join together and go before the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon the service as the men pray for me and I pray for them as well. Let's ask God to do something special in the service today. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before thy throne, Father, with a people that have many needs, many with not only needs, but maybe a heavy soul, a burden on their heart or mind. And yet even through all of that, we can still have joy because our joy is based on our salvation and not the happenings around us. So, Father, help us not to allow the burdens, allow the sorrow, allow the worry or the concern to hinder us this morning from freely worshiping and hearing from you and in celebrating and getting excited about what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in the service and what you'll do during the preaching here to come in a few moments. Father, help us to solely concentrate on what you have for us today. Father, I thank you for the men of Harvest Baptist Church and those that are gathered with us today. I pray a blessings and protection around them, Father. Protect their eyes, their ears. Father, protect their tongue and their mind from going into areas that they should not. Father, help them to have a forgiving spirit as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, Father, as you have forgiven us. Lord, I pray that you'd help them as they labor to serve you at home, in their community, at work, and here at church. I pray that you'd help them, Father, and give them strength. Father, I thank you for the ladies of Harvest Baptist Church and their willingness to serve and to play that important role as helpmeet that you have given to them as their husband and their wife, Lord, and the role that they play in ministering here at Harvest Baptist Church. What a joy it is to serve the Lord together. Father, thank you for those who serve in the nursery, in the children's ministry, in the choir, Father, in teaching. Lord, what a joy it is as we serve one another through teaching and preaching and working with the little ones. Those that work and are on guard in the parking lot this morning to protect the services as we go about our time of worship and fellowship. We praise you for their willingness to serve and to give back to their church family. And now, Father, we pray that you would
Bless the lives of your people here today. Be with those who are here visiting with us this morning. Wait, be it the first time or the first time in a long time. Pray that you bless and encourage them from the Word of God this morning. And Father, I pray there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. Father, I pray that Christian that may be struggling in some areas would be encouraged and be challenged, or maybe even the Christian, Lord, it's not quite where they should be in their service unto the Lord, that you would comfort and love them and bring them into yourself and help them to see from the Word of God where they need to be in service for you. So, Father, I pray in order for that to happen, I pray that you'd help me. Pray that you'd give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clarity of speech. Help me to be obedient unto thee in that which I've studied in private, Lord, that you have helped me with in preparation for this morning. And, Father, I pray that I would be your servant in your hands, your mouthpiece this morning, and be obedient unto thee. And Father, when it's all said and done today, may we all rejoice and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Father, help us to hear, help us to respond in obedience, and we'll be careful to praise you for it. For we ask in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Before Brother Sam comes and sings for us this morning, we'll read our text this morning as we begin a new journey in a new book. We did finish 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We'll be in Jude. I know that it is only one chapter, and I know that it's only 25 verses, but we will be in it for a little while. We'll be at least the first 2 or 3 weeks on verse 1 and 2. So let's look together Jude verses 1 and verse 2 this morning before Brother Sam comes and sings for us. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. And that is our title this morning and for next week, Jude the Servant. Jude the Servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. I want to give a little precursor this morning, and then I think I mentioned it some time ago when I started back in 1 John almost 2 years ago. And one thing that I like about preaching expositorily through the Bible, nobody can blame me that I'm preaching or cherry-picking something. It's what's next in the passage of Scripture. I know right now that we did 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Last year I preached through portions of the Gospels, and then we'll go right into Revelation after we finish Jude, and we'll see what holds next year. On Sunday night, we've been doing themes through doctrines of the Bible. Do you really know what you believe about? And we've covered a variety of different things. We've stepped away from that last couple of weeks with the Bible prophecy and this inspiration tonight. We'll get back into that next Sunday night. I believe next on the list, we'll talk a little bit about the millennium. And then on Wednesday nights, we've been doing journeying through the book of Proverbs, but by topics alphabetically. And we've been talking a little bit about failure and success, and we'll continue through that in the book of Proverbs. We may be doing that in the book of Proverbs for years. I have no idea. I'm in no hurry at all. I have no idea how long that will take. And then we'll go on to another topic, maybe a character study, after we finish the theme of Do You Really Know What You Believe About, studying about doctrine. But this morning with the book of Jude, and I want to encourage you and remind you, you know, there are many times as a boy growing up that there were some things my dad said that I did not like. But as I matured, I look back and I appreciate it. And there may be some things that you don't like, but let me remind you that I am a mouthpiece for the Lord. This is what's in Scripture, and this is what's in the Bible. I'm using a lot of Scripture today, and so I'm not going to take the time to turn to all of them. They are in your outline as far as where they are, and they will be on the screen. But I got a lot of ground to cover this morning and a lot of Scripture, but I'm going to try not to get too wound up and talk too fast. If I don't finish, if it gets a little late, I'll just put a pin in it and pick up next week. But the idea of servanthood and the idea of sanctification can be sticky in some areas if we don't fully understand or we're not actually allowing it to take place in our life. So with that being said, we have read our text verse. So let's talk a little bit about Jude, and we'll go right into our outline this morning. Jude here begins by stating his relationship with and position in Jesus Christ. Now, over the next 2 weeks, as I mentioned, we will look at why every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ. Well, you need to understand there's a bit of a difference there with and in, and we need to understand there's so much the Lord wants to do in and through us, but the only hindrance he has is us getting in the way of allowing the Lord to work in some of these areas. So the question again, why every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ. Number one this morning, because believers are servants. And maybe I should say believers are to be servants, but the bottom line is we are servants, but there's a difference of whether we're a good servant, an obedient servant, or not. Again, Jude says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. The word servant here is the Greek word doulos and carries the idea of bondservant or bondman. You see, servant describes a willingness to give up personal freedom to serve another. Again, servant describes a willingness to give up personal freedom to serve another. So often I hear people say, well, God has given me the grace to do this thing. Well, I'd rather say the Lord has given me the grace not to do some things that I used to do. So often people want to give grace as an excuse or liberty as an excuse to do something where I feel the Lord has given me liberty to refrain from some things that's hindering my Christian growth or my testimony. Noah Webster defines this servant as this: a person, a male or female, that attends another for the purpose of performing menial offices for him, one who is employed by another for such offices or for other labor, and is subject to his command. Again, servant. See, servant differs from a slave. As a servant is in subjection to his master, is voluntary, and slaves is not. See, every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave. We should not be a slave to the world any longer once we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are servants and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a bondservant is not someone who is taken against his will and forced to serve, but one who voluntarily gives himself to the service of another. So, dear friend, Jude's heart was to serve. Is yours? Jude's heart was to serve. Is ours? With our theme this year being faith, family, and fellowship, are we willing to serve in those areas that demonstrate our servanthood toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, toward our Lord, and toward our community? This illustrates here, again, being Jude's heart was to serve. It illustrates the example of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Mark, chapter 10 and verse 45. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." See, every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ because believers are to be servants. And how well are we serving the Lord? How well are we serving in his church? How well are we serving others in our family and our church family? Number two, we are servants because believers are sanctified. And we'll spend the remaining part of today's message in this area. Because believers are sanctified. Look at, again, in verse 1, the latter part. Notice who Jude is speaking to. He says, "Jude the servant and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father." He's speaking to believers, those who are sanctified. And see, the doctrine of sanctification is one of the most misunderstood doctrines of the Bible. One group goes to extremes teaching the eradication of the old sin nature and claiming a total sanctification here and now, while another group claims that it is impossible to live holy and separated lives here on earth. Dear friends, the word sanctified comes from the Greek word hagiazo, and it means to be set apart for special service. We are to do our part. We need to understand, and we'll look at three areas of sanctification. Some is all of God's part, but there's some that is our part. Now, the word sanctified, again, means to be set apart for special service. And don't fall into the extreme teaching of this area of thinking that the old sin nature and claiming sanctification will never be reached. We are to strive to be more like Christ today than we were yesterday. But the Bible has many areas that is references to being sanctified, not just people. A mountain in Exodus chapter 19 refers to being sanctified or set apart for use. The altar in the layer of the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40. Food in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You see, sanctified is threefold in the life of the believer. And to be set apart for service is not necessarily just us individuals, but God also uses things and places set apart to be used for his service. Notice there's positional sanctification, and we'll get to all three hopefully this morning. There's progressive sanctification. Let's say the proper use of the word progressive. Perfect sanctification. But let's look at positional sanctification first. You see, at the time of the new birth, every believer is eternally sanctified in Christ and transformed from the family of the devil into the family of God. See, we become a child of God the moment of salvation. It's not something we work to take advantage of. It's not something we continue to try to earn. But the moment we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ is a moment of salvation. We are a child of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You see, before salvation, we belonged to the devil, and we were objects or subjects of his kingdom.
Jesus said to the unsaved in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, you are of your father, the devil. See, salvation changed that relationship, and now we are children of the King. We are a child of God. And may I throw in, let's make sure we're acting like a child of the King. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 and verse number 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice that, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. See, at salvation, God declared us righteous and set us apart for him and for his service. This is positional sanctification. That takes place the instant we trust Christ as our personal Savior. It is the act of God whereby Christ is made unto us sanctified, or sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of him are ye in Jesus Christ, who with God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, this phase of sanctification is solely the work of God. Positional sanctification is an eternal fact grounded upon the new spiritual standing the believer has in Jesus Christ. This is what God declares each believer to be in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So imagine the magnitude of this great truth. When God looks at us, he does not see our past. He sees Christ's righteousness. That goes in good with our discussion in Sunday school this morning. God, we may still see the person who betrayed us. We may still see the person who lied to us. We may still see someone who wronged us. But because of his righteousness after salvation, God looks at us and he does not see our past, but he sees Christ's righteousness. Amen. I'm glad he doesn't see the old me every time I mess up. I'm glad he doesn't see the old me before sanctification, before salvation. But see, he sees me as a son who I am in Christ. Still may be rough around the edges, but I am one of his. I belong to him. And I am to do all I can to live a righteous, holy, separated life unto the Lord. See, every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ, because believers are servants and believers are sanctified. Yes, there's positional sanctification. Now, letter B, let's go to the progressive sanctification. Remember, positional is all him. That took place the day that I bowed my head, recognized my sinful condition, repented of my sin, and put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I became his. Doesn't make me perfect, but it makes me secure in him. It doesn't mean that I will never sin again, but it means that we should respond when we read the Bible, we hear the teaching, we hear the preaching, and we're doing wrong, that the Holy Spirit convicts, and that we want to make sure that, yep. Hey, by the way, when you're under conviction for doing wrong, it sure is an assuring feeling of knowing, I belong to him. I belong to him. See, my dad got on to me when I misbehaved. Well, sometimes he got on to some other kids too, but not the same way he got on to me. A little difference there because I belong to him. Progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification is different, again, from positional sanctification. But again, positional sanctification is the work of God. Progressive sanctification includes human responsibility. You see, progressive sanctification is a process of being conformed to the image of Christ. It is a process. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, Christian growth is putting away sin and putting on godliness. Putting on godliness. A couple of verses of scripture here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19 and verse number 22. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, Paul writes. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now ye yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness in the end everlasting. In other words, you're saved now. You're sanctified in Christ. Start living like you're a child of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. Live like we are children of the Lord. Live in righteousness. Live in holiness. Remember, we are set aside for service in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as ye which have called you as holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. See, all believers are exhorted to pursue progressive sanctification. We are to grow. We are to progress. We are to have progress recognized in our life. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye again should abstain from fornication. This aspect of our sanctification is a matter of obedience unto the believer. Are we obeying the Lord as he commands us? Okay, you're one of mine, so walk like it, talk like it, act like it, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I first got saved, boy, I didn't always do the right thing. I was heading toward my progressing toward my sanctification. And then later as a teenager in my walk with the Lord, I got away from the Lord just a little bit, and I don't want to make excuses, but here's the best excuse I have. There for a while, their mom and dad wasn't in church. And guess what? When mom and dad's not in church, it affects. I'm not blaming my mom and dad. I'm just telling you the facts. Moms, dads, grandma, grandpa, the kids and grandkids that watch you, if they don't see you in church, dad, this is why I push men so hard about growing in the Lord, being faithful and being involved. Because mama don't want to hear your son saying, well, dad doesn't go. Boy, I heard that a lot in my military ministry. It's a little bit, pretend like you're my military minister just for a moment and be a little plain. A little harder to do this today, but I can remember pulling up to some of those majors, some of those captains, and going to their office on Monday morning, knocking on the door and saying, sir, you got some time for your pastor today. They knew why I was there because they weren't in church on Sunday. And I would simply ask them, sir, you've got two kids. When mama starts having some problems with rebellion with them, and they start blaming you, why do I have to go to church? Dad doesn't go. What's going to be your answer? Are you going to set the example? Preacher, man, you're being pretty hard. I said, you know what? The military is used to getting someone getting up in their face and telling what's right and what's wrong. So I just acted like the general. I acted like the sergeant major. I just talked to him the same way and say, the best way I know how, friend, you need to get right. You need to get in. You need to set example for mom and dad. Excuse me, for your kids. And let me encourage you, moms, dads, be faithful. Dads, your kids will be as faithful to church in the next generation as you are today. You don't want to look back as a grandpa. You don't want to look back at your older kids and wonder why they didn't stay in church and why change. Maybe because you didn't. Maybe because you weren't there and you weren't there. And here's what it comes down to, your progressive sanctification. So here I am. I stopped here as a teenager, got away from the Lord because I wasn't in church. I made a decision to, you know what? I need to go no matter what. I started going. The Lord got a hold of my heart, and I started walking, getting closer to Him. I was progressing in my faith and my growth in being more like Christ. You with me? We're either progressing, we're growing, and we're being more like Christ, we're moving toward Him, or we're not. And the Bible commands us that we are to be holy, we are to be righteous, we are to grow in the Lord. He took care of the salvation part. We need to do our part and progressively grow in the Lord to be more like Him, that our sanctification might not just be known by me and God, but known by the ones who watch our daily life as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 21 and 22, if a man therefore purge himself, and let's understand this, ladies, this includes generically all of us. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Dear friends, sadly, many Christians ignore God's clear command to separate, and they never become a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. But yet the Bible commands a Christian to be separated and to be sanctified. Allow me a few other references here in just a moment. How are we doing in our Christian growth? Are we progressing? Are we growing? Is there a difference today in your walk? Let me ask it another way. Do you know more about the Lord today than you did when you got saved? Do you have a closer relationship with the Lord before today than when you got saved? Is there somewhere along your life as you were living and serving the Lord that you were at your peak and some reason or another you've kind of drifted back and you have not progressed or grown anymore? See, if we become stagnant, it affects everyone around us. And we know what happens to stagnant water. We need to make sure we're continually moving and growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be satisfied with just being saved. There's no obedience in that. In fact, I'll go a step further. I hope you don't misunderstand me. If there is no evidence of Christian growth, if there is no evidence of conviction for doing wrong, if there is no guilt, no problems with just living a life like the world and claiming to be a Christian, I'd like to ask you, are you sure that you're saved? See, it's not enough just to believe. James tells us the devils believe and tremble. But has there been a time in your life where you recognize you are a sinner and ask the Lord to forgive you, knowing that He died on the cross for your sins, shed His precious blood, that we might have eternal life? In other words, you were going in one direction, a child of the world, as the Bible describes. You stopped and made an about face and says, I am a sinner, I deserve hell, I'm going to put my faith and trust in Christ. Lord, forgive me. See, the surface of just believing God is not enough. But realizing your need for Christ and turning from your sin and turning to Christ. There are so many people today that believe in God. As James says, the devil believes and trembles. But have we repented and turned to Christ for salvation? Dear friends, if you can live a life of no conviction for a sinful life, I question, and you should question your salvation. Just like that conversation I had with that young major and asking him in his office, if you're a Christian, you say you're a Christian, I simply asked, why aren't you living like one? Here's where I really got bold. And then he starts squirming in his seat. You should be that uncomfortable under the preaching of the gospel if you're living in sin and not right with God. You shouldn't be uncomfortable just because a preacher said something, called you on the spot. But you should feel that way when the Holy Spirit convicts because you're not living right. Are we living for the Lord? Are we doing that which is right? The Bible commands a Christian to be separated and sanctified. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as many which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? See, dear friends, God intends that the process of sanctification continue throughout the believer's life. The process of sanctification never ends in this life. There are those who claim to have grown to the point of sinless perfection, but the Word of God offers no proof or such position. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 through 10, and we covered this some weeks ago, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You see, as believers, we are to combat and resist sin until we leave this world in death, or at the return of Christ. Yes, personal positional sanctification and progressive sanctification. In other words, that personal sanctification is all God. We have been set apart. We belong to Him. We are no more or less saved. Just like I was no less the son of my dad when I did something wrong or embarrassed him. My children are no less my son, no less my daughter when they're living right or they're living wrong. They are still my children. And we are still his. But that part of progressive in the Lord, progressing in the Lord, is we are to do our part to live right. We're not to be satisfied just to be saved. We want to be saved. We are, but we want to be that part of being set apart. We want to be useful for the Lord. So we want to progress to be more like Him, to be used more of Him today than we were yesterday. We want to set a godly example. Personal sanctification, progressive sanctification, and lastly, perfect sanctification. This is the final perfection of the believer, and it takes place at the return of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, perfect sanctification is the plan and purpose of God for every believer. This phase of sanctification cannot and will not be achieved while we are here in our mortal bodies. However, it will be accomplished. You see, what God started in the believer, He will finish. I remember one day talking to one of our granddaughters. I can't remember which one. I think it was Thea, but I just can't remember. They're all little, pretty, blonde-headed girls. And she was sulking a little bit. And I was asking her, she'd gotten in trouble and she had to sit down. Mom made her sit down, take a little time out while their sisters were out playing outside in the pool, playing a game I don't remember. She could not be included. And I felt real bad. I mean, I'm Papaw. I felt bad. I didn't want her sulking there on her own. I wanted to make sure because I didn't know what was going on. I wanted to see if she was okay. And I asked her if she was okay. She said, yeah, I got in trouble. I said, you did? I didn't ask her what she did. I said, you did? She goes, yeah. She goes, Papaw, it's hard to be good all the time. But you know, I tried to encourage her to progress and do better. Sweetheart, did you ask Mommy to forgive you?
Yes.
Did you ask your sister to forgive you?
Yes.
Did you ask the Lord to forgive you?
No.
I said, do you want to do that now? You want to forgive you and to help you to be a good sister, a better sister, to try hard a little more each day?
But Papaw, it's so hard.
And I wanted to say, I know because I know your sisters. But I didn't. I didn't say a word. So she bowed her head and she prayed and asked the Lord to forgive her and to help her to be a good sister. You know, we have to do that sometimes as well. We just have to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Brother, I'm sorry. Sister, I'm sorry. That's part of that progressive sanctification, to grow in Christ. We'll never reach perfection until Christ returns. We'll never reach that perfect sanctification. So, in other words, yeah, you mess up. Yeah, I mess up. Yeah, sometimes we have to ask one another, to each other, to forgive one another. But recognizing and knowing that and doing that is part of our growth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, perfect sanctification is the plan and purpose of God for every believer. This phase of sanctification, again, cannot and will not be achieved until in our mortal bodies. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, what God started in the believer, he will finish. See, perfect sanctification will be the completion of what God started in us on the day of our salvation. It will not. It started the day we got saved. We were sealed. We've been bought with a price. We're sealed. We're sanctified unto the Lord, set apart for his service, and we should strive to be more like him, holy in righteousness, progressing in that sanctification. No one will never reach perfect sanctification until he calls us home. And until then, I want to make sure before I stand before the Lord that I have progressed from the day I got saved and become more like him, but still working on it until he calls me home or till he returns. We should continually strive to grow in the Lord. Again, at Christ's coming, every believer will receive a new body that will have no sin. Boy, won't that be a wonderful day. No more sickness, no more aches and pains, no more getting my feelings hurt, no more sitting in the corner because I've been a bad boy. None of those. It's all gone. I'll be just like Christ. We will no longer have to resist sin within or grow toward perfection. Our sanctification will be complete. Again, he says in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will be holy and forever set apart to God from sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Like the old Texas preacher used to say, hold my mule while I shout. I mean, that day will come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No more battling the flesh. We will be like him. But dear friends, every believer enjoys a relationship with and in Jesus Christ, because believers are servants and believers are sanctified. Dear friends, positionally, you're sealed if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how are you progressing in your walk, in your relationship with the Lord? Perfect sanctification will never come here on earth in these mortal bodies. But one day when Christ returns, we will be like him. But until then, just like little Thea, yes, it's hard to be good. But if we work on keeping, gentlemen, as we talked about before, short accounts, when I mess up, I make up. I get right. Soon as the Lord convicts me and shows me my wrong, I do all that I can to make it right. Because as I've said millions and millions of times, it seems like probably just hundreds, I have to be right this way that I might be right out here. And if I'm not right out here, I'm not right this way either. Because God commands us that we are to love one another. Our theme, as we prepare to close this morning, is faith, family, and fellowship. This is our church family here. And it will grow and it will change through the years if the Lord tarries his return. But no matter how big it gets or how small that it becomes, we are to remember faith, family, and fellowship and serving together and do all that we can to be used of the Lord, setting an example to the younger kids. I'll just be honest with you. We had two precious little ones singing this morning. And on a good day, that number might have been six, as we have people, family. We understand sometimes we can't all get in here at the same time. But if the Lord tarries his return and God gives me health, I hope to see some of the little ones that were here this morning, some of the little ones that when they're all here, they're back in the back room or here, I would like to see them one day up there singing in the choir. I would be honored to have some of those young men serving at office positions here at the church or teaching class or working with other kids. And the only way that's going to happen if the Lord tarries is that we set the example for them to progress in their walk and their growth in the Lord so they might want to serve God. Every kid, every child has done something similar to what I'm going to illustration I'm going to give you now before I close. I think I'm going to close. I'm not sure. But when my kids were little, they liked to play dress up. You guys remember playing dress up when you were a kid or had kids that did? And I never understood why they always had to put a pillow in the shirt of the one that was me. But they would, you know, put the pillow in the shirt, have mom's long dress on and shoes and come clop, clop, clopping in and playing mommy and dad and playing up. And we used to laugh and have fun. But there's something about that. If they want to be like us, gentlemen, ladies, do we want them to be like us? Are we living a life separated unto the Lord that's what we want for our kids? And if we want them to have better or to be better, maybe we need to, gentlemen, step up and be the example because we want our kids to progress and grow and not only be like us, but maybe be like we are today at a younger age. Especially some of us that may have gotten saved later in life. Some of us that might have made a decision to serve the Lord later in life. Maybe we should strive and want our kids to be like where we're at today at a younger age. Or maybe we want to improve so they will desire to improve as well. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Are we living and acting like servants? Are we progressing, allowing him to set us apart for service to be used of God? What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching a younger generation? What are we teaching a younger, maybe the same generation that are younger in the Lord? How do they see us? And do they want to be like us? Let's stand together for prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And just a moment, we'll have a verse of invitation. The Lord has spoken to your heart this morning about some areas in your life. Don't let it bother you. Being under conviction is a good thing. It's part of that progressive sanctification. As you grow in the Lord expects us to step up in our service and responsibilities unto him. So the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning in any area of service, whether it's attaboy, you're doing a good job, young lady, or maybe he wants you to do more. That's between you and the Lord. So would you take this time this morning and just respond, talk to the Lord, and if he wants you to do more, if he wants you to be more involved, if he wants you to step up, would you respond and be obedient and make that commitment to do what he's asking you to do this morning? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Speak to the hearts of your children. Help us all to be obedient. Help us to strive to be the type of servant that you'd have us to be. We are servants because we willingly serve our Savior in one another. Father, work during this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. The Lord has spoken to your heart where you stand or here at an altar. If you'd like to pray, why not do business with the Lord this morning? If you're here this morning and positionally, you know where you're at in Christ. Praise the Lord. If you're here this morning and you don't know that if you die today, you'd go to heaven, why not make today the day of salvation? If you have any doubts and you're not quite sure, if you have any reservation at all, why put off to tomorrow what you can handle today? Come see me after the service. Come forward even now during an invitation. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. There's not a person in this building that would not rejoice over that statement, that would not be glad to stay here a little longer as you get assurance and know that you're saved. But if you are saved this morning, Christian, how are you progressing in your Christian walk?
We will never be perfect until the Lord comes and takes us home and we'll be like Him. But until then, we should be progressing in our walk. We should be growing closer to Him and more like Him. You evaluate where you are today and where you think you should be, and ask the Lord to help you to continue to grow in the Lord and the things of God this morning. Just another moment. Our minds are clear. We'll close a public invitation. Once again, if you got any questions, concerns, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart today, you're not quite sure what's going on, I'm happy to make some time to talk with you, pray with you, and set aside a time to talk with you about any questions you may have about your walk with the Lord, about the church. Again, I'm pastor, shepherd. I'm here to serve. All you have to do is ask. All right, I'm going to make my way to the back, and please remember, as always, that God loves you and His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask.